Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to I'm Absolutely Fine, the podcast from The Midult that looks at all the glamour and indignity of being a grown-up.
Hi everyone, I'm Emily and I'm absolutely fine, but last week I developed vertigo, which isn't what everybody thinks it is, i.e. fear of heights. It's loosened crystals in your inner ear, which caused by an infection or possibly something.
A blow to the head.
Yes, exactly.
Or deep sea diving. You've got to stop it.
I've got to stop
Maybe
that.
It's the cold water swimming.
No, it's not the cold water.
Could be.
I know that you want it to be, but it's
not.
Oh,
that would be a harsh reality.
Shush. It is not. No one has indicated that it's anything but good for my central nervous system, this cold water swimming.
How's your central nervous system doing?
It's doing fine, thanks. Anyway. Yes, I'm so much more chilled. Thank you. So as a result, anybody who's had vertigo will know it's horrific and you feel like you move your head and you feel like you are on a roller coaster almost instantly. It sort of just like spins you round. Your eyes kind of shake until you kind of recalibrate. And
they actually do shake.
You yes,
look like
they
you're
do.
Having a fit.
You do, basically. And it's incredibly frightening. And when you are, you know, a little bit unstable anyway, the idea of sort of metaphorically, the idea of actually being physically unstable is really disconcerting.
Do you remember that... That thing that was going around on social a few months ago, and it was various people just sitting or sort of lying on tables. It would just say unstable on a table.
I mean,
and the irony is that if I had tried to put you on a table last week, you would have rolled off.
I was so unstable. I was so unstable.
You were too unstable to be unstable on a table.
That's how unstable I was.
Oh,
it was
dear.
Very. But it was really. All of these things I think make us feel like somehow we are vulnerable, and that is really, really frightening. And my osteopath brilliantly did some kind of maneuver, which we googled, and I think it's called the Epley maneuver. But anyway, it's like a twist of a neck sort of rotation, really exciting, and it's fixed it. But it has left me with a kind of residual sort of not dizziness, but like the echoes of dizziness, I think, and kind of a gingerness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like gingerly walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Anyway, that's me. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine, but I'm being rebirthed this afternoon.
Oh my god.
This afternoon I shall be reborn. I mean, I'm not sure anyone's ever needed a rebirthing more, to be honest.
Everybody needs to know, Annabelle, that you are currently looking at me with wearing the brightest of lipsticks. It is a NARS really, really bright matte lipstick. Black, sort of thick rimmed glasses, gold hoops, and some gold flashes in your hair. And this is all to disguise the fact that you are
a little bit tearful today.
A little bit tearful. But
it's an old trick. I remember when I was in my first flat living by myself, and if I was feeling blue, I'd grab a weird colour lipstick and put it on. Then every time I went to wash my hands in the loo, I'd forget, obviously, and catch sight of myself. And it would be kind of a cheery uppy thing with a sort of weird coral mouth. And this is a very good red lipstick. And I love red lipstick, but I'm always too intimidated to leave the house with it on. So I still put it on like a sort of dressy up thing rather than a grown-up thing.
What's really interesting as well is that I think that because what you're wearing, the glasses and the gold hoops and the lipstick, is very defined. And I think when one is feeling very undefined, when one is feeling very
blurred around the edges
and collapse, it's quite nice to have that sort of definition. So I'm looking at you now and I feel like you're sort of slowly, you know, feeling like
a becoming less pixelated.
Yes, exactly.
I know, I feel like a cartoon when I've got these funny horn-rimmed glasses on. 20 quid for 5 pairs from Amazon. Always invest in your eyes, guys.
Yeah, there's no one's actually told you that you need a prescription or anything, right?
And the red lipstick with an extremely vicious lip liner around it. So it's absolutely like it's printed on.
But we've been thinking a lot about disappearing because someone wrote to us the other day an email, and the reason that they hadn't got back to us was they said that they had disappeared into the things.
Yes, sorry I haven't replied. I disappeared into the things. And we wrote back and said, oh my goodness. I mean, you know, we have a very hard relate to disappearing into the things.
Yeah, I mean, I think disappearing into the things, and what are the things we disappear into?
Well, so I think one of the reasons I put on this stupid slash sensational red lipstick today is because I disappear into the sadness. And that was what was threatening to happen. I don't talk to anybody. I don't answer the phone. I just let it sort of swallow me for a while. I don't know how to sort of fight back on that. And it's funny because I'm losing touch with happiness as well. I realised the other day something very, very good happened. It was undeniably a good thing. However hard I could try to find, you know, the shadows on the moon, it was a good thing. And the only reason I knew that I was happy was because I was physically shaking, not because my head was saying, I'm so scared, I think, of what comes up must go down. Of like, you know, this idea that I have that this is really unhealthy, by the way, everybody, of that this instinctive reaction I have to the idea of hope, which is that it's just sort of rolling out the red carpet for pain.
Well, we were talking about it last week when you were like, the boiler is fixed. For now,
yeah.
Everything, it's like a qualification. It's like the tail end of the message that you send out to the universe is always, I cannot ask for too much. I will just ask for right now or whatever, or I'm prepared for the pain.
Yes, always slightly.
Don't mock me.
In the brace position.
Yes.
Which is not summoning abundance into your life, by the way.
I know, it's manifesting.
Yeah, so the sadness is where I can just sort of, I can erase myself into that.
And it's quite funny, me trying to cheer your sadness up. And you came down the stairs and I said, oh my God, that lipstick looks amazing. And you had not put it on yet.
I said, I'm not wearing any. You went, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I said, you are an entirely adorable person. That's what's wrong with you.
I tell you, I disappear into the idea that somehow if I plot enough, if I plan enough, I will get things under control. And actually, it's an incredibly punishing thing because it's sort of, apart from being annoying for everybody else, it is the fact that I believe that there is somewhere a key ingredient, a key move that I can make that will make everything kind of fall into place.
Yeah, it can make you quite manic. I said to Emily's husband the other day, I said, God, we were just about to go into this big meeting about something really important. And she suddenly started talking about all these micro things we had to do. And he said, oh my God, she does that. It's so annoying. And I think when the pressure of something big happening opens up, yawns in front of you, then you start doing out loud micro plotting about, yeah, you know, lists that we need to make.
Yeah, I disappear into the kind of control, as it were. Mm. And I try not to think of myself as a controlling person.
You're not. Just,
I know, but I think that I am in the way that I would.
You'd like to be, maybe.
Maybe I'd like to be more controlling.
Isn't that interesting?
Is that so weird? Nobody wants to be more controlling.
Except you.
Yes, exactly. That wouldn't be so weird. What else do we disappear into?
We disappear into our phones. I mean, we use them to blank out. Like getting high. I mean, you know, it really does feel like that. Because rather than doing anything, or you know, you can find a way, if you're feeling sort of tired enough and flat enough, to spend a Saturday afternoon, you know, not going out and doing something, not even doing laundry, not reading, not even watching a movie, just to sit there and scroll.
Yeah.
On your bed.
But it's really annoying as well. And I catch myself doing it. Let's say you've got like a 10-minute window or like a 50-minute window. You're waiting for someone. Mm. And instead of, you know, reading a worthy book, I'm only kidding, but you know what I mean. Instead of thoughts like wash over you.
Imagine sitting there staring into space like a psychopath, like we used to do when we were, you know, teenagers.
And exactly. And maybe an idea might come. Instead, we're just kind of chewing. I don't know. It's like the fast food for our brains, isn't it?
Well, I think it gets in the way of us. You know, it puts a block between us and ourselves.
Yeah.
Doing that, you know,
yeah.
Connecting with ourselves. So it's a shame. But I mean, you know.
There we are. Genuinely disappearing. I also think that, and again, this is sort of the inverse of the controlling disappearing, is that we disappear into the panic.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And then you can't see out because everything is vibrating and no one can really see you because you become a panicked hologram of a person.
Yeah, just sort of like blurring, like the Tasmanian devil of panic.
Yeah, and that thing where you try to breathe deeply. I think I have a sort of Pavlovian response to deep breathing now, which is I do it when I'm panicking. Therefore, if I start to do it, my body knows that I'm panicking. So it doesn't really work anymore.
I'm also horrified about how shallowly I breathe. You know, when you're in, like when I was in the osteopath the other day.
Were you panting?
And well, no, it was just like, he was like, no, deep breath. And I was like, and he was like, no, what even was that? That's like literally like a gulp. And I was like, okay. And then of course you do breathe deeply and you think, oh my God. Oh my God,
yeah.
I'm actually breathing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, back to, it's like when you put your head on the pillow and you're actually not resting your head on the pillow at all. You're just hovering it above.
And rigid.
When you remind yourself to kind of sink down, you suddenly are like, oh my God, I'm literally holding myself in this kind of, can't be good for us.
I mean, none of this can be good for us. I disappear still into property porn. You know, but it's not just, you know, a simple, should I move down the road because I can't afford to do my leaking kitchen? You know, but I'd rather be renovating, but that's never going to happen, as I sort of pathetically save and then have to spend the savings. But it's more like, oh, that enormous castle in the furthest tip of the Scottish Highlands is really very reasonable.
Oh my God, look at all those derelict rooms you could live in.
I know, look at the crumbling turrets. Think of what one could do with those.
I mean, that's not going to cost a fortune or anything to heat.
I know, the heat. Have you noticed everyone wants to move to Lisbon?
Yes, it's really disconcerting.
Is it like a tax break or something? But I can't move for people who want to move to Lisbon. Why aren't we moving to Lisbon?
I don't know. Why aren't we brave enough to move to Lisbon? Can you imagine if we decided that we'd just like, right, the Mid-Alt is moving to Lisbon.
I know, I sort of think Lisbon, tiles, design shops, Lisbon. And that's all I know. There's some tech thing going on in Lisbon, is there?
Which is, I think there is, yeah. I think there's some tech tax situations, which means that people can move and kind of work and whatever. Also, I said to you when we were talking about this earlier, I said, oh, and it's only an hour's time difference. You're like, basically so many places are an hour's time difference, Emily. What are
it's
you
like,
talking about?
Exactly. It's like you're talking about something that's a 13-hour flight away.
But it's so interesting. Lisbon is definitely the kind of the word of the moment. Anyway, I don't think it's part of my identity. I used to think that I would end up living somewhere else for a bit, and it has turned out not to be true.
Identity. I'll find out more about my identity later when I'm rebirthed on Zoom in my bedroom for a story that I'm writing for the Evening Standard.
Do you think that you will, like, what is the point of it? Is it to like emerge as a kind of new person, or is it just to
phoenix from the ashes, a butterfly from the chrysalis?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've done absolutely no research. I just know I'm doing it. I'll do a little read up before the event and report back.
I wonder if it could be at all like you could access a time like where everything worked out really well and you knew exactly who you were and you were like, and everything was under control and it was all fine. That was a good 10 minutes.
Yeah. Past lives.
Ooh. Mm. Because, I mean, we are all totally in a kind of permanent flux of our identities. It's so interesting, the kind of the experience now, that we're both sort of very fixed on things we like and don't like, but at the same time we catch ourselves all the time with these huge kind of personality shifts.
I know, I agree. And that it's almost like we're adopting different personas, trying them on for size.
Yeah, exactly. All the women in us.
Exactly. We are all more than one woman. But, you know, often it's quite ill-advised, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
I mean, I think at the moment, I certainly, me, and to a certain extent, you know, flirting with the idea of becoming a sort of Diary of an Edwardian lady. You know that thing, it's like one day you're young and carefree and the next you're saying, oh look, there's a tufted titmouse. There's a yellow-crested bum puncher. I mean, you know, so and along with the bird watching and fondness for sponge. I mean, actually, didn't you make a posset the other day?
Yes, I did. I made a posset. Hello, a lemon one. I also, honestly, my favourite cake is now a Victoria sponge. Like, what the hell?
I'm looking for my next needlepoint.
You are. You literally said out loud yesterday, I need to find my new needlepoint. And I just think, oh my God, we are constantly
saying, in the hope that it will sort of ground me. Also, for the first time in my life, I quite want to know what the different trees are. I mean, I don't even know what an oak tree looks like. I've never expressed any interest at all. I mean, I like the fact that they're there. You know, what the flowers are.
Oh, I really would like to know more about the flowers. Also, the other day, I turned on the radio, and it was Radio 4 in the car, as discussed on previous episodes, that I always leave it there so that people think I'm intellectual when they get into the car. Anyway, and it was Garden as well, and I listened to the whole thing about when sweet peas had become popular in the UK. I thought, God, this is fascinating. 1770-something.
I mean, we'll be sketching next. We could do we could do life classes, lifeless classes, where we could run mid-art lifeless classes where we all just go and slump behind an easel.
Oh my God, that's a genius idea.
Yeah, quick. Let's do it.
This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
Okay, serious question. How many times have you been out recently? Actually, you know, scratch that. How many times have you woken up the day you were supposed to go out and felt flooded with dread? How long have you spent praying that the other person will cancel so you don't have to?
And yet, just as we're avoiding people, so many of us feel really lonely and more tired than ever, particularly now the days are getting a bit longer and you think, How am I going to have the energy to go out into the world?
Our social batteries are very flat at the moment, and that can make us feel isolated, which can lead to trouble. And in my experience, therapy has helped me track my best energy sources and helped me better identify what leaves me feeling depleted.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try?
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist and switch anytime for no additional charge.
With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/midult. That's better, HELP.com/midult.
BetterHelp, because sometimes the best thing to do is acknowledge that we are not, in fact, absolutely fine.
Let's do it.
Also with a slight sort of Fanny Price headache.
Oh my God, I think that I'm going to get to the point where sort of deadheading roses, the roses that I have grown. No, this is not going to happen. But anyway, give me a headache.
Yeah, I'm getting little headaches. I never used to have little headaches. I'm getting little
I'm
headaches.
Having dizzy spells. This is it.
Oh,
honestly.
Oh, God, none of it's good.
None of it's
Diary
good.
Diary of an Edwardian Lady. Okay. That should calm us the fuck down.
All right, so the other day, someone asked me if I wanted to go to a festival with them, which I have to tell you is an act of aggression, a master's piece in love, if ever I've heard it. But I think that there has been like a huge... Because of Daisy Jones and the Six, which Annabelle has declared unwatchable and I was addicted to, everybody is just wanting that kind of like 70s Woodstock, Joshua Tree kind of rock vibes. Like, why aren't I wearing kind of tiny kind of crochet crop tops? Maybe that we've actually crocheted in a crossover.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That's like a time-space continuum gone mad when the Edwardian lady crochets for the festival fringe that she's about to become.
This is where we're at now. Anyway, but I think we're all sort of like reaching for the cheesecloth.
I do like a cheesecloth dress. Doesn't wash well though.
Does it not?
Well, I always shrink it. Yeah, always sort of, yeah. But I mean, washing. I mean, I have to tell you something. Some days, and you know that I'm a cleanliness freak.
Yes.
Does anyone remember Wayne Atterslob?
Oh, I love Wayne
Atterslob. I mean, there are some days, aren't there, where you just think, why would I wash my clothes? I'll just put this on again. Quite like, you know, why would I wash myself? Slightly meaty smell, but you know.
The meaty smell. Why would I shave? Why would I, you know, have a pedicure? Why would I bother waxing?
Yeah, why would I
actually,
wash my hair?
I haven't waxed for years. Yes. And I thought that, you know, it was interesting. I thought that maybe lockdown had kind of killed our kind of grooming schedule, or at least sort of dulled it down.
What, those expensive rolling appointments?
Yeah, and I think they did. And then I think we all went mad again and thought, oh my God, cleanliness is everything.
Well, I tell you what happened in lockdown is we started doing it all at home.
Yes.
And then when we realised that we didn't have to do it at home, we could neither be bothered to do it out or at home.
No.
So we just stopped doing it.
Yes.
And also, and it's awful because, you know, the clocks have gone forward. So it's light.
No.
So you can see the beard, the claws, the leg hair. It's like, it's not spring fever. It's a whole new, gives a whole new meaning to spring fever. You know, it is true. The older you get, the uglier you're willing to go out in public.
It's so true. Honestly, sometimes I go out and I'm wearing like someone's sweatshirt, not mine. Who knows? Could it be left there? Like, very old shoes that are just falling apart. And I'm like,
that's
my hair's not done.
You got stopped in the street the other morning, yes, and someone thought you'd been wandering the streets all night. It's because of those get-ups. That's why.
I know. And every morning, you know, and I think this is also to do with, you know, these sort of mini identity crisis that we're having daily, possibly hourly, is that I honestly wake up and think, today I want to look fabulous.
I know you do have that, don't you? You do. You sort of look at yourself in the mirror and you go, today I'm going to dress like a badass.
Yes.
You really, yes, believe that you can sort of use clothes to morph into this fantasy person you want to be, but then you do not use the clothes.
I look incredibly like
nice.
Well, it's strange for me to say that I look nice, but I know that there's, again,
no, I know that as far as you're concerned, your fashion problem is that you always look nice.
I just always look nice. I mean, there's occasional times when I've looked, do you remember when that time we went to like a really important meeting and I basically turned up in fancy dress?
Oh my God, it's because, it, yes, it was, I remember saying, what the fuck? It's because it was a What are they called? Not a heat blast.
Heat wave?
One of them. You see? It was a heat blast.
I'm glad you're going to be reborn. I like heat blast. We need one of those.
It was a sudden heat wave. And I think that actually in London, I think British people immediately look like they're in fancy dress the moment it gets hot because no one really understands the heat. You were wearing a sort of flouncy, pleated, bright pink shirt, a very weird old yellowing man's vest T-shirt.
Yeah.
Some gold sandals that someone had given us both for free when we both worked on the same magazine about 25 years ago.
They were like Celine with Dr. Scholl, and I have kept them, held onto them with just like such a love, thinking that they're ever going to be anything but totally gopping.
And a very peculiar basket.
It was a very peculiar
basket.
I mean,
it's burned on my brain, the image of you that day.
Anyway, I've never worn that outfit again.
You were like a sort of village idiot little girl woman. And the look of hope on your face.
The look of hope.
I mean,
but that is the thing.
Makes me want
hope.
To cry. But the, everything
oh,
makes me want to cry.
No.
But no, this
also,
is the other
you are
thing.
Going to cry. Sorry.
Not during this podcast, I'm not.
Okay.
But, you know, talking of who we are, I'm a massive, it's a bleeding heart, you know. Yeah. Crying for myself, crying for you, crying for other people's stories, crying for the world. Just, it's, you know, I must look completely unhinged, and I'm not saying I'm not. But I find it quite hard to turn off the tears.
Yeah. No, it's I totally agree.
And then suddenly, from softy, softy, no skin, really, really caring, to some fucking thug hard man.
Yes.
Fuck it. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say the word, but yeah, just everyone's a bunch of cyclists.
Yeah, it's like that new thing on Sky, Town Called Malice, and they've got a very clever tagline, sun's out, guns out.
I love that tagline.
Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out. That's it. So maybe this summer, when the sun comes out, I will not bring out my Celine fake Dr. Scholl sandals.
A flick knife.
Exactly. Or my lady muscles, which
I'm going to have to remember to be nice to you about your strange sunshine outfits, or you might come for me.
It's so true. We can literally oscillate between bleeding hearts to hard men within like seconds.
Must be very disconcerting to be around.
Yes. Do you know the other thing about all the crying?
Yeah.
Is that we've become a sort of resource.
What, like... A sort of unnatural resource.
Exactly.
It's true. Imagine if they could find a way to convert all our stress and rage into electricity.
Hello?
And we could power the national grid.
I mean, we could fill reservoirs with our lady tears.
I mean, yes,
I'm saying lady tears.
Because it's left over from the Diary of Edwardian lady.
Yes, exactly.
No more hosepipe bands this summer, right? We could just, you know, we could cry them a river.
We could cry them a river. We could, with our anger and you know, our blurry panics, we could, you know, power the national grid. We're like...
Maybe there's a gassy stage to look forward to.
Inevitably, there will be, right?
We could just sort of plug our bottoms onto the Nord Stream pipelines and that will be the end of the energy crisis. Does that happen as you get older? Do you get very gassy?
Of course. It's bound to happen. Very gassy, things falling out, dizzy, you know. And as we get older, to compensate, we become kind of, you know, maybe with all this unnatural resource, we're actually kind of being at one with the earth because we're sort of, I don't know, like witchy or something.
Well, that would make sense because there are definitely, definitely witchy episodes. You know, like if there's a full moon, we can just go, oh, you know, it's not your fault, it's a full moon. I like it because it's quite a good way to avoid conversation. I'll do anything to avoid a proper conversation.
What do you mean? As in what? Because if
we just
you
say
go...
something like, oh, you know, I just feel it in my bones.
Oh, I see. And that's like,
it's a conversation stopper, right?
We need more conversation.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Do you know, I had such a panic.
This too shall pass.
You got this. No, kidding. But I had such a panic the other day because there was I was seeing on Instagram whiling away 10 stupid minutes when I should be thinking about greater things.
10 stupid hours.
Yes, exactly. Is that Pluto is entering Aquarius for the first time since 1777.
I know, you sent me that in a sort of terrible, you know, You know, pyre of panic.
Well, because...
And I looked it up. It's good.
I know, but the thing said it's going to send shockwaves, I'm quoting now, send shockwaves through our collective and individual responsibilities. Massive long-term transformation.
I know.
Hello?
What you mean. Transformation means change, and change is really scary.
Change is really
scary. But it is meant to be positive. I can't believe that I'm the one saying that, but it is. I know normally I'll go for the downer, but this Pluto in Aquarius thing is meant to be good news, guys.
Well, I think a symptom of my vertigo has been to really focus on downers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're turning into a pessimist.
I think I am, finally.
Miss Dolly Sunbeam into a pessimist.
Yeah, It's happened.
You've been broken. Don't say that. That's awful. No. Why? What's been getting you down?
I'll tell you what got me down. Last night, I went to bed completely exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And I realised that I had stripped the bed earlier that day, put everything in the wash, washed the sheets, put them in the tumble dryer, but I hadn't put them back on.
Oh, my God.
So I had to go downstairs. I know. Upstairs and then make the bed, but like at 11 o'clock. Nobody wants to do that.
And I think that we underestimate how taxing making a double bed is.
But also, I mean,
I get lost inside that duvet, sweaty, miserable for, I mean, you know, minutes at a time.
Also, because it's late and you're not concentrating, so I actually put the duvet on the wrong, like inside out, and then I had to take it off and do it again. So that's like double.
Yeah.
For my lady arms.
Yeah. I take talk of a lady problem, which is a downer, is when you pull on your much-loved, favourite pair of knickers and your thumb goes through the elastic at the sides.
Oh, my God!
You know, but, and they're favourite because they're special, because they're so soft, because they're so loved, they're so worn.
I love those.
And your thumb or your finger, depending on how you pull up your pants, just goes straight through and that, and you think you have to throw them away. You then don't throw them away.
Which is another sign of our dereliction.
Derelict.
Is that we actually keep them.
Yeah, it's true.
And, because it gets bigger and bigger.
Because this is sort of hate crime and a massive downer. They may have been discontinued.
Jesus! I think that is a sort of... I mean, we're talking about active aggressions. I think that's an actual sort of insult.
Well, it feels like a personal slight, doesn't it? When something's, you know, even whether it's your favourite cheese on your delivery order or your lipstick or, you know, the shape of a pair of pants. When things are discontinued, that always takes the wind out of my sails.
Yes, because I think it makes you feel wrong. Again, all of these things make us feel wrong,
I no
don't
longer
they?
Fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because things I like are no longer available. Therefore, I'm being sort of edged out of existence.
Yes, exactly. I'm sort of irrelevant. Oh, my God, that's deep.
Well, okay, so what's not deep is the downer effect of a light bulb going, particularly if a light bulb goes in anything that involves a ladder. Oh dear, I do not like having to fetch a ladder.
No, for all the vulnerabilities and the sort of awkwardness and the fear of falling and whatever, but also just sort of, I don't know, it feels so, yeah, perilous.
Yeah, but also if I could, like, if I was in a Harry Potter book and I could, you know, wave my wand and snap my fingers and a ladder would appear, I'd climb it, but I have to go into some dusty cupboard and wrestle with, I don't know, coats or bags or suitcases to try and get the fucking ladder out. And also, I'll probably see a moth. And a moth is a downer.
I killed a moth this morning.
Good. Sorry.
Yeah, that's Buddha. Okay. No, yes.
Moth is downer because where there is one moth, there are moths.
Yeah, I know.
Mice.
Same.
You know there are more, right?
The other thing about going into the cupboard, you know, where you go and get the ladder, is that there are also all the bags that you haven't, like, handed back, or there are all the old toys or whatever that you keep meaning to give away to people in a sort of sensible way, and you keep thinking, oh, one day I will be worthy and donate or whatever.
Or my ladder's in my coat cupboard, which is like a terrible mess. And also, I open it, I look at all the coats. I've got two coats that I like, but there are like a lot of coats in there that remind me again of all the women I've been.
Yeah.
I look at them and in one I see the shadow because I was so heartbroken I practically ceased to exist. Another one I see the pirate from the spring when I just drank what I wanted and, you know, did what I wanted with whoever I wanted and hopped on planes like there were buses and that was all fine. And then another one I see, you know, it's funny. You can look around your house, you can look through your wardrobes. And if you're feeling vulnerable, if we're talking about that, then you are vulnerable to this assault of past, present and future.
Yeah, true.
And it gets you down.
It does. I tell you what else gets me down.
What?
Emails that say things like, your insurance is due, your car insurance is due, your home insurance is due, your holiday insurance is due.
Yes.
Is holiday insurance due? But you know what I mean.
Check your gas bill.
Oh my God. Or, more annoyingly, sign up now for a smart meter.
Oh my God. Or save the date.
Oh, stop.
I mean, isn't it awful? Because save the date is always a downer because we're, you know, terrible people who find plans frightening and no plans frightening. But then if someone says to you, oh, have you received the save the date and you haven't?
Oh God, actually, I've just had a whole, that's awful, isn't it? Because you're both humiliated by the lack of invitation and also, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know...
It's a lose-lose situation.
A save the date is a lose-lose situation. Also, when I see a save the date, I think expensive.
Yes.
Because if it doesn't involve a car, a train or a plane, or a dress or a present.
Or a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking of saving the dates, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yes, save the date to listen to us because we're hoping to have someone quite useful and clever on to talk to us about surviving all this stuff that we've been talking to you about.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And also, I will have been rebirthed by then, so God knows what you'll find.
I mean, it's all to play for.
Yeah.
Have a good couple of weeks, guys. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Annabel Rifkin and Emily McMeekin of The Midult. Our book, I'm Absolutely Fine, is out now. If you like what you hear, please rate, review, and subscribe.